Hello everyone and welcome back to Walk of Faith podcast. I'm your host Solomon. So today we're going to talk about Salvation Part 2, where I had promised that I will talk a little bit about my journey to salvation and share a bit more insight about being born again. So I got born again in my early teenhood, around 13, 14 years thereabout. I come from a Christian household, so all through my childhood we have been going to church as a family. I knew God way when I was young, but now to come to that level of realization that confessing with your tongue and believing in your heart, that I did as soon as I got that level of understanding in my spirit. It's important as a Christian, as much as we make this confession, something that we know what it means and we know what it requires of us. We need to be of good age to understand whatever confession you're making. It is important. It is crucial to your heart and it's crucial to your being. So my journey has been quite amazing and quite interesting for that matter. I have had a very fruitful Christian life and I have had my moment of weaknesses. I have had my share of things being difficult on my end, trying to work the salvation by my might and my strength, trying to live right by what I know. And it has proven futile to many extent. I've had my own shares of backsliding. I've had myself going back and forth in my journey of faith. I've found myself falling into sin a number of times, every other time, and sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes I get angry at God. I tell him, "You are the one who saved me. Then why is it? Why are you allowing me to go back to sin? Why are you allowing me to do this? Or why can't you just cause something to happen so that I don't fall to sin?" You know, there are things I have done in my early 20s, early adulthood, and looking back, if God was really that person who keeps grudges, he keeps record of wrong, then perhaps some of us, we won't be where we are right now if we were ever to be judged by the magnitude of what we've done. You know, by us promising God, we want to live right, we want to live righteous, and then all of a sudden the things we do are not reflecting the life that he has instructed us to do. But then recently in my early 20s, I came to realize one thing about God. I came to study this one character in the Bible that made me change my whole perspective about God, and ever since my life has been easier. I studied so much about David. You know, David was just one person who was in the eyes of any man, he was a sinner. In the eyes of any man, he was that one person who probably, if God was to still unleash the wrath that he used to in the early ages, then perhaps David would be among the first people who would have died of anger of God. Because, you know, David, there's this instant when he took Uriah's wife, and then God instructed Nathan to go to him. And then Nathan was giving David this story about this rich man who robbed a poor man of his beloved ewe lamb. David was so furious about the story, and he told Nathan that king should not, that rich man should, does not deserve to live. He should die immediately. You see, judging from a man's view, would say that David really, that rich man really committed such a bigger sin. But when Nathan told David, "That man is you, because you're the one who took Uriah's wife. Despite you having everything here, you took a poor man's wife." And David was so remorseful. Immediately we see in the Bible David saying, "Oh, I've sinned against God." Instantly David was remorseful, and Nathan told him, "You know, you'll not die. God will forgive you of your sin." The remorsefulness of David. David was that one person that I've come to learn and understand that despite everything that he ever did, despite him falling into sin a number of times, he has never departed from God. He has never departed from God. He has always stayed. He's always stayed. He's always remorseful. He's always coming back to the present. He's always asking for forgiveness. When he wrongs, immediately he wrongs. He's coming back to his knees. He's so quick to come back to his knees. He knew the secret. He knew the secret. That's why the Bible described him later as a man after God's own heart, because he knew how how God has the power to transform him, to make him a better man, you know, despite him faltering. That's one thing I've learned and I've realized and I've taught myself with time, that staying in the presence of God will guarantee you more winning, more transformation, more upliftment in the spirit than you when you sin and you walk away from the presence. That is the beginning of the destruction. The Bible says in Isaiah 42:3, this is another verse that I read that was so interesting. God is saying, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not burn out. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out flickering candle. He will bring justice to all. God is that God who will not break you out because you are a bruised reed, because you have issue. Being a bruised reed is you having issues. You having addiction, yet you love the Lord. You having anger issues, yet you love the Lord. You committing adultery, yet you are born again. You are into all sort of sin, but yet you are born again. You love the Lord, but you still are smoking. You love the Lord, but you still are a drinker. You love the Lord, but you still constantly found yourself falling into sin. You are a pathological liar, but you love the Lord. The Bible says, as long as you stay in Him, as long as you abide in Him, a smoldering wick, a faintly burning wick, He will not burn out. He will not burn out. God will not burn out. He knows how crazy you can be. He knew these are weaknesses, are in us, men. He knew that this journey into righteousness is difficult for us. That's why He ensured that He has given us more grace. His mercies are new every day. His mercies are new every day. He ensures that you are not being a slave to sin. That the minute you falter, or the minute you backslide, and then that is it. No, that is not it. He still loves you. He still wants you back. The Bible says we know of a jealous God. He guards His own jealously. God is so jealous. He can't let loose of you to go to the world. And then there's an interesting verse. Someone may be asking now, how am I supposed to go about this? Perhaps you're saying, I've been sinful. I have backslided a lot of times. I have done God wrong many times. I find myself constantly sinning. Every other time I try to live righteous, but I can't. I try to live a godly life, but it's difficult. John 15 verse 4, when you read down to around verse 11, that is the verse for you. That is the word for you. That is a rhema for you. The Bible reminds us that abide in Me and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. For you to transform, for you to become a fruitful Christian, for you to see a change in your life, for you to feel the presence of God in your life, you must stay in the Lord. No matter what you do, come back to the presence. Stay. God knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows how crazy you can get. He knows how those issues that you have, those issues that you don't tell people, but people, some people feel it when you're around them. Some people wonder, you're born again and yet you're doing this. He knows. He has a solution for you. In John 15 verse 4, abide in Me, stay in Me, for you to become fruitful, for you to see the transformation. Stay in Me, stay in Me, stay in Him, stay in Him. He knows. And God, Bible tells us, normally tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we have. We have a high priest who empathizes with our weakness. He empathizes with you. He feels you when you fall to sin. He feels you. It's so sad that you've fallen into sin. It's so sad that, yes, you did something wrong that displeases Him. It's so sad. He empathizes with you. You see the way you are so remorseful. You see the way you are remorse about sinning. He feels you. He feels your remorse. He empathizes with you when you're remorseful. He empathizes with you when you go to church and you still come back home and drink. He empathizes with you if you're feeling that guilt. The guilt is killing you. He's empathizing with you. That is the God we have. He feels your weaknesses. He feels them. He feels them. Don't ever be deceived that He doesn't feel you when you are feeling the guilt, when you feel that you've wronged. He feels you. He feels you. That is the kind of God we have. He empathizes with you. It's so sad that you fall into sin. But He still says, He still insists, abide in Me, abide in Me, abide in Me. In John 15 verse 4, abide in Me and I in you. That is the only way to live. That is the only way to work your salvation. That is the only way I always do. Abide, I stay. No matter what I do, I stay. Perhaps you are listening to me and you're telling yourself right now, you don't understand what I have done. The things I've done are unforgivable. I'm a born again Christian, but I've done this and this. These things are unforgivable. I know them. I've sinned. I don't even have the strength to ask for forgiveness. I don't even have words to tell Him. Abide in Him. Come back to the presence. Be like David. Come back to the presence. Be remorseful. Be remorseful. even if you won't say a word when you're praying about it or when you're asking for forgiveness about it, just you being remorseful deep in your heart, being remorseful, that is the first thing. He empathizes with you. He feels you. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this thing. I believe Amplified Version says, being persuaded of these things, that he who began a good work in you will see it to accomplishment. You will see it to accomplishment and to the day of Christ. He is the one who began this journey of salvation. You are not the one who began. He began. He chose you first. He loved you first. He began this salvation in you. And he's saying in Philippians 1:6 that be confident, believe that he who began this good work in you will see it to accomplishment. He will see to it that you live, you reach that level of righteousness. Letting go and letting God, allow him to work in you. Allow Christ to work in you. Always stay in the presence. Abide. In Hebrews 12:2, now look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the author. He began this. It's not you. He began it. He chose you. He called you in. He's like, you know what? This is what I'm doing. Come. This is what I've prepared for you. Come. You ask yourself, what do you have? What do I have to do? He's saying, no. Come. All you have to do is just let me work in you. Allow me in. Let me present myself a righteous man. Let me work in you. Let me perfect you. Let me mold you. Let me prepare you. Let me transform you. You have anger issue. I know. You are into adulterers. I know. You are in all sort of addiction. He knows. I know. Just come the way you are. Don't worry about it. I'm going to work it out. You don't have to work it. I'm working it. I'm your father. I'm the Lord and Savior of your life. Let me work in you. Let me transform you. Let me heal you. You have wounds. You have past history about things. Let me heal you. That is the Jesus we know. That is the God we know. Abide in him. Always abide in him. Stay. For those who got born again in the last part, in salvation part 1, and for those who are listening to me and you are not going to church, perhaps you ask yourself, what is that one way of abiding? One, I will encourage you to look for a Bible teaching church. Stay in the presence. Stay. Go to church. Listen. Listen to the word of God. Listen to people that God has put in your life to edify you, to grow your spirit. Listen to them. Go to church. Stay there. Stay. Don't leave his presence. Come back home in the evening, in the morning. Pray about everything. You fall into sin. It's so sad. It's disheartening you have. But be remorseful. Pray over it. Ask for forgiveness. Abide in him. Don't ever leave him. Don't ever leave God's presence. Because the minute you don't, the minute you derail away from him, the minute you don't abide, when you read a little bit down after verse 4 in John 15, verse 4, the Bible says in chapter 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, I will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That is another bit I will teach later. But for now, abide. Stay in him. Stay in him. It doesn't matter what you've done. Stay in him. It doesn't matter the number of times you have backslided. Stay in him. It doesn't matter how many times you have been sinful. Stay in him. It doesn't matter what form of addiction you're fighting. Stay in him. It doesn't matter. Stay. Abide. Be remorseful. Let him work in you. Let him work in you. Let go and let God. Let him transform you to the person that he wants you to be. You know, the one mistake that I learned that I used to do most of the time is I used to work my salvation by my own understanding. I was struggling to do things right. I was struggling to please God. I was struggling to do things. I read the Bible, don't steal, or, you know, don't tell a lie. I used to struggle to do them until I came and realized that I was doing it all wrong. All I needed to do was to allow Jesus to work through me. Because every time I used to do that, by your own might and by my own understanding, I used to fail a lot. I used to find myself sinning. I used to find myself forgotten. But when I realized something later, when I read the Bible in Philippians 2:13, the Bible says it is God who works in us, both to will and to do. He works in you. Once you've accepted Christ, once you have accepted him as the Lord and Savior, let him work in you. It might not be as soon as you might think. It will take some time, but let him work, he's working. Some things, some behavior, you realize they're just shedding off, they're shedding off, they're shedding off slowly. The more you stay, the more you transform. The more you abide in him, the more you bear more fruits. The more you abide in him, the more you bear more fruits. The more you stay, the more you are transformed. The more you are reformed, you are remorseful, the more he renews you, okay? And don't ever let yourself be eaten up by guilt. The Bible reminds us to always forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. That is in Isaiah 43 verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing in you. He's doing a new thing in you. Yes, you've sinned. Ask for forgiveness. Forget about it. Don't put it in your heart. Don't let guilt eat you up. Alright? Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. I hope you have been encouraged. Always remember in John 14, abide. Abide in him. Thank you so much.